Revelation chapter number 12, and let's look at verse number 1, and we'll read down to where we got to last week, and say a few other things, and then we'll look and try to finish this tonight. Revelation chapter number 12, and let me say this about Revelation 11, 12, 13, and 14. All together, all four of those chapters is a bird's eye view of the last half of the three and a half, or the last half of the 7-year tribulation period. So basically, in chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, and 14 is going to start about middle ways of the tribulation. Right here. You'll see us right here. We're going to go up at the rapture, and then the tribulation's coming in. And about halfway through the tribulation period is where Revelation 11, 12, 13, and 14 start. Revelation chapter number 11 deals with the two witnesses, and the two witnesses show up about middle way. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Look at chapter 11, verse number 3. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." At 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. Now, look at chapter 12, where we were. Chapter number 12, and look at verse number 6. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days." That's 3.5 years. Look at chapter 13. And look at verse number 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. You know how long 42 months is? It's 1,260 days. It's 3.5 years. So you'll see chapter number 11, 12, 13, and 14. Chapter number 11 deals with the 3.5 years there pertaining to the two witnesses. The chapter number 12 is the place where Israel is going to hide out the last half of the tribulation. Then chapter 13, if you were in my Sunday school class this morning, you found out that 13 is the number of the rebellion and has to do with the Antichrist, 666. And chapter number 13 deals with the last half of the tribulation dealing with the Antichrist. And then in chapter 14, you'll have the ministry of the 144,000. You'll look at that, and we'll get there eventually. And so all four of these chapters is a bird's eye view of the last half of the tribulation. Now let's look at chapter 12, verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered." Now let me pause and say this. We've already discussed this last week, so I'm not going to go over this a whole lot. But this woman is none other than the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, it's not Mary. It's not Mary Baker Eddy. It's not the church. It is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is with child. Guess who that child is? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came from the nation of Israel. Yes, Mary, but this is a bigger picture than that. He came from the nation of Israel. She's bringing forth this child. Look at verse 3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew 1/3 of this part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, these verses deal with another. What you have in chapter number 12 is you have this woman. This woman is the nation of Israel. Then you have the man-child. That's Jesus Christ. And then you have the red dragon, which is the devil. And this red dragon is there waiting for this child to be delivered and going to devour this child because he knows this child will deliver the whole world. And so there you'll have, you say, how did he do it? This dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. The 7 heads are 7 countries. Well, guess what? The ten horns are the kings of those seven countries, and one of those is going to be where the Antichrist comes from. Think about this. When Jesus was born, King Herod, who was controlled by the devil, one of the heads of the dragon, was there and ready, said, kill all the little boy babies, 2 years and under. Why? Because the dragon is sitting there ready to be delivered and devour that child. If you don't believe that, it starts in Genesis 3 and verse 15. You have to turn there, but in Genesis 3:15 it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All through, starting in Genesis 3 and verse 15, Satan, the red dragon, has been nipping at the heels of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's tried to kill the lion all the way in the Old Testament, trying to kill the seed of the Messiah, where he's going to be. He's snipping at them heels. Well, one of these days, the Lord's going to come and stomp on the head of the dragon. And this is what we're talking about. We're getting a bird's eye view, but this is sort of going back a little bit and bringing us up. You already know that Lucifer started out in heaven as the anointed cherub that covereth. When he fell, Isaiah 14, verse number 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How did thou weaken the nations? And Lucifer said in thy heart, I will ascend above the stars of God. I will. God says, no, you won't. And so Lucifer is kicked out of heaven. He takes a third of the stars with him, which are angels. He left with a third of the angels. Everybody with me? A third of the angels left when Lucifer left. Now you say, preacher, who are those angels that left when Lucifer left? They're called evil spirits. What a lot of us call demons and devils and evil spirits. That is the angels that work and left when Satan left. These haunted houses, it's not, I promise, it's not your uncle, your aunt, your grandma and floating around in a haunted house. It's not. The Bible says if you're saved, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, right there. They're not hanging around in houses. And if they're lost, and the Bible says, Luke 16, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes as soon as he died. So if a person's lost, they go straight to hell. If they're saved, they go straight to heaven. They're not haunting houses. You say, preacher, well, I saw a TV show. And they set up cameras in the dark. And they caught something. Something was moving in there. You know what it was? That was a part of the third of the angels that fell when Lucifer fell. You say, oh no, they said some stuff that I... Don't you know that Lucifer and Satan and all his devils know information that they could tell? He's the master deceiver. And people are deceived. And they say, well... So-and-so was murdered, so their spirit's going to linger around in this haunted house until we solve the murder, and then their spirit's going to zoom up out through this. I can't even think of that. Well, I could, but I can't say it. That's baloney. You have to read the Bible and not go with the TV. So, a third of the angels left when Lucifer left, and they're there to devour that child. So, what you have in, you have this wonder. What did I do with that? Okay. You have this wonder, this image, this beast, this red dragon with seven heads and ten horns. It has crowns on these heads and so on and so forth. There are countries that literally work for this red dragon. Iran, Iraq, Russia, China, North Korea. You with me? They're not our friends. Now, I'm getting hung up and I need to move, but I just need to say this. Look, this red dragon is after one country, and it's who? Any country that is against The nation of Israel is working for that red dragon. You mark it down. America included, if we ever go that route. We hadn't fully gone that route, but we're headed that direction. And you just remember that. It's not being mean. That's just telling the truth. And this is what's going on. Now, look at verse number 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who else could that be but the Lord Jesus Christ? And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. That's Acts chapter number 1, the ascension. Right after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection, He's ascended, Acts chapter number 1, ascended up to His throne. That's where He's at right now. This is a past bird's eye view. And now it brings us up to, look at verse number 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. This woman, the nation of Israel. Let me see if I can give you a brief synopsis right here. As soon as the rapture takes place, there is a peace treaty. The first 3.5 years is going to be smooth sailing, peace treaty. There's a guy going to show up and say, hey, we can bring peace to the Middle East. They'll probably run for an election and the whole world will wonder at them and all of their ideas and everybody's about them, and they'll sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel will have that peace treaty that will give them the opportunity to start building that millennial temple on the Temple Mount. They don't have access to that right now, but they will when the Antichrist signs a peace treaty. Have you ever wondered? That's all we hear on the news now. Peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. If Palestine will give up some of their land, if Israel will give up some of their land and give it to the Palestinians. Can I help you? Palestine is not a country. Well, they call it Palestine. I don't care what they call it. It's never been a country. Israel became a nation in May of 1948. Palestine is not even a country. They have no rights to nothing. But they say, if you'll give us part of that land, we'll bring peace. You cannot deal with a terrorist. You cannot deal with them. You cannot deal. If you deal and sign it, they're going to break the deal. If you give them this much, they're going to take this much. You give them this much, they're going to take this much. You understand? And so this Antichrist is going to show up about 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, peace and safety, peace and safety. When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction, 1 Thessalonians says. And in the middle, right where we're reading, right in the middle of this thing, He's going to break the peace treaty, tear that thing up in little shreds, and says, you fall down and worship me, or I'll cut your head off. Now, you say, preacher, that sounds silly. That don't sound silly no more. Now, 30 years ago, that would have sounded silly. Cutting heads off? Nobody cuts heads off no more. They do now. It's like that thing has come full circle. They're starting to bring the guillotine back. And you know who's doing it? Those 7 heads and the 10 horns of that red dragon. And they're cutting anybody's heads off that's not for the red dragon. And you say, it's becoming full circle now to where that's what they're doing now. Now, middle of the tribulation. Were you ready? Verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, let me say this. Those are the key. If you missed this last week, you can just get the tape or the DVD. I went over the 7 heads or the 7 kings, and here they are: Nimrod, Pharaoh, Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Alexander the Great, and Caesar. These are 7 of the heads of that dragon. And these are the kings. And, of course, Babel, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and, of course, Rome. Rome was in power. One of the heads was in power when Jesus was born. And you remember, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate said, "Here's your king, Jesus Christ." They said, "No, he's not. We don't want him." Because they were working for that red dragon. So if you didn't get all of that, that was from last week and the seven heads and ten horns. Now, verse 7, there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now notice Michael, the archangel, has angels. And they're fighting in heaven, and they're going to throw this red dragon out of heaven. Now, not where God is. There's actually three heavens. There's where God is, the third heaven. The second heaven's where the sun, moon, and stars are. And the first heaven is here. Now, Lucifer, he's the prince and power of the air. The darkness too. He's the prince and power of the air. That's where we get all them, you know, television. Anyway, that'd make you too mad. But now remember what I told you. Remember what I told you. Y'all remember going through about Revelation chapter 4? What is right here before you get from the second heaven over to the third is a sea of glass, and there's water out there. You remember that? Take your Bible and look at Job 41. Job 41. We may not get done. Is there anything good on TV tonight? All right, well, we'll just get done. Job 41. Job 41. Is everybody there? I still hear a few pages. Verse 1. "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn?" Job 41 is going to describe this dragon. This is a description of the red dragon, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And talks about, look at verse 15, "His scales are his pride." Y'all see that? His scales. I mean, this is a red dragon. Verse 19. Now, let me help some of you. Some of you got an old Schofield. I do. I have an old Schofield reference Bible. King James, but I'm saying it's a type of you got old Schofield, you got Ryrie, you got Thompson Chain, all those kinds of references, which means the references underneath is man-made, not the text. But the, and so, old Schofield, if you look, or some of yours might say, "Well, this is a crocodile." Not true. You say, "How do you know?" Verse 19. "Out of his mouth goeth burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot." You see that? I mean, this is a fire-breathing dragon. You say, "I didn't know those things exist." Well, they do too. Well, they do up there in the heaven where that thing flies around. Now, take your Bible real quick. Psalm. You got you, Job. All right, go to the right. Go to Psalms. You got to see this. This is a little more time than I wanted to spend, but you got to see it. Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74, verse number 13. 13, number rebellion, right? Psalm 74, 13. Is everybody there? "Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the what?" Now, look at verse 14. "Thou breakest the heads of" who? "Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. This is in the tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to break the heads of Leviathan. He's going to bring down every kingdom and make them feed the children of Israel in the wilderness. Y'all remember children of Israel, Old Testament? God brought manna down from heaven and fed them. It's going to happen again in the tribulation period. And he's going to you say, preacher, who's this Leviathan thing? Where does he live? He lives right up there, right up by that water. Y'all don't believe that. Well, Psalm 74 says, you say, preacher, when the rapture takes place, how are we going to get through there? God can divide, part the water, can't he? I think he's done that a couple times before. So, when the Lord comes, it's going to be like Moses. Moses led the children of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to lead the church. And we're going to walk across dry land. And we're going to walk across on the sea of glass and come out on the other side. And the dragon's going to try to follow us. And God says, oh, and devour that dragon. Ain't that something? You say, preacher, that's why. Well, look, I mean, the book of Revelation is not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. Now, you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, once it comes out on Discovery Channel, you'll believe it. Now, go back to Revelation 12. There's war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fight against the dragon and his angels, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that's going to happen, middle tribulation. The peace treaty is going to be broke, and Satan is going to the Antichrist, the red dragon, whatever. He's going to break the peace treaty. He's going to fall out of heaven, and his angels are going to and then that's where the last half of the tribulation period goes, totally the wrath of God. The first three and a half, peace, 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 peace. But when he's kicked out of heaven and he comes down to this earth and he brings his angels with him, you talk about an invasion from outer space this world has never seen before. You better make sure you're already in heaven. Look at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's Job chapter 1, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Look at that. Now, verse number 11, watch this. And they overcame him, okay, overcame the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, you want to know, here's a three-point outline. You want to know how to overcome the devil. Number one, by the blood. Number two, by your testimony. Number three, by dying to self. Has everybody got that? It's in verse number 11. You overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. You better get saved. You know what? We ain't done this in a while. We need to do it. It's good to hear testimonies. And we need to do that. We really do. We need to start doing that. Somebody remind me on Sunday nights. You just take 5-10 minutes. Somebody give us a word of testimony. You say, what does that do? That fights off the devil. If the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you sit there and never say nothing, you say, oh, my testimony ain't going to help nobody. You'd be surprised in this room right there. You sell your testimony. Somebody on the other side of the building goes, man, if that worked for them, it'll work for me. And it'll help them be based on your testimony. And it'll help to overcome the devil. And dying to self. Now look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's got 3.5 years. And listen, folks, if you think the devil's bad now, you wait till he comes down from that glory, from the heavens. You wait till he comes down and he comes to this earth and brings the third of his angels with him. And the whole, you're talking about the wrath. And listen, the church is gone. And the Holy Spirit leaves with the church. And he who letteth now let, till that wicked one be revealed. And I'm telling you, when he comes down to this earth, listen, you do not want to be here. And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's the woman? Nation of Israel. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. Watch. For a time, and times, and half a time. From the face of the serpent. Y'all know how long that is? Time is one. Times with the S is 2. And a half a time is 3.5 years. 42 months, 1260 days. Last half of the tribulation period, this dragon is going to be after the nation of Israel and going to torment and persecute her for these last 3.5 years. Watch what happens in verse number. Well, let me deal with something real quick. We got time, don't we? Y'all see verse 14? This woman, Israel, was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished. Nourished by God, fed by God, manna from heaven. She's in the wilderness. She flees to the wilderness. She's fed by God. And this nation, the nation of Israel, is given 2 wings of an eagle. Now, some have said this is America because of the eagle. This is America. And America, and of course, some have said, you know, hey, we got to take care of the nation of Israel. And I'm for that. But it's really not time yet. This is tribulation right here. And some have said, but let me go to Deuteronomy. Hold your place real quick. Go to Deuteronomy. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 32. Hold your place. We're coming right back. We might stop off in Matthew on the way back. Deuteronomy 32, look at this. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 11. Well, verse number 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Who's his people? Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's the nation of Israel. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Y'all see that? In the nation of Israel, in the wilderness, when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32 says this eagle carried them out of the wilderness into the land of promise. America wasn't there yet. America, this eagle wasn't in Deuteronomy 32. America wasn't in 32. Everybody with me? So, go to Matthew 24 on your way back to Revelation. Matthew 24. This nation will have to hide out and hide from the Antichrist. All right, look. Now, let me get my bearings right here. Look at verse 29. Is everybody at 29? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Y'all see that? Immediately after tribulation. So that means verse 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, so on and so forth, is during the tribulation. Right. Because 29 says immediately after tribulation, so everything before 29 is tribulation. Is everybody with me? Look at verse 19. Talking about the nation of Israel, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great, what? Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, believing Israel, those days shall be shortened. You'll see there, verse number 20, pray that your flight not be in the winter or the Sabbath day. The nation of Israel has no commercial airplane flights on the Sabbath day. None. Because if they fly an airplane during the Sabbath, it's breaking the law. Can you see one of them big 747s with two wings of an eagle loading up all them nation of Israel, getting up on that airplane, headed to the land of Petra, trying to get away from. And he says in Matthew 24, you better hope it ain't on the Sabbath day or you ain't going to catch no flight. You say, preacher, you know that to be true? Well, I ain't for sure, but I think we're pretty close. And it could be that. And I know what some of you may be thinking. Well, one of them big 747s wasn't in Deuteronomy 32 either. I know that. So whatever that thing was, whatever it is, you say, preacher, well, if it's an airplane, you say just airplane. You have to understand this Bible is for all people at all times. If John, if he would have put airplane, he's like, what in the world is an airplane? But he knew what two wings of an eagle was. Anyway, let's go back to Revelation 12. Let's finish up. Verse number 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. This serpent's trying to... Now, I don't have time. Jeremiah chapter 12, Jeremiah 46 talks about the flooding of the land over there and trying to flood out the nation of Israel. Don't have time to look at it, but it's Jeremiah 12, Jeremiah 46. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Y'all see that? Y'all remember, you say, you remember the Old Testament? All them people, they was mouthing, fussing, carrying on, and the earth just opened up, swallowed them up. So that's right, you got to be careful about murmuring and complaining now. You might fall into a hole. So this earth, the devil's going to cast water, going to come out of his mouth and flood the whole land and try to kill the nation of Israel. When it happens, the earth's going to help her. The earth's going to open up, and all that water's going to go down, and the nation of Israel, they're going to be protected. They'll be protected. Now, look at last verse, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel. Now listen, folks. The whole chapter 12 was about the nation of Israel and what they're going to be doing the last half of the tribulation. Chapter number 11 tells us, going on at the same time as chapter 12, talks about the two witnesses preaching. So John goes back and says, all right, let me tell you about the nation of Israel. I told you about the two witnesses. Let me tell you about the nation of Israel. Next Sunday, he's going to tell you about the Antichrist. What's he going to be doing the last half of the tribulation? So on and so forth. Go on, go back to the middle, go all the way to the end. Back to the middle, go all the way to the end. So that's what we're doing in the book of Revelation. And listen, folks, anybody that's against the nation of Israel is working for that red dragon. You mark her down. And you don't want any part of that. Because in the tribulation period, it's all going to boil down to one thing. You say, preacher, all this big war, where's it going to take place? The nation of Israel. It'll take place over there. In the Valley of Megiddo. The blood of the Battle of Armageddon will take place in the Valley of Megiddo where David killed Goliath. And the blood will be up to the horse's bridle for 200 miles. How far is 200 miles? A long way. Almost to Nashville. How much? 240 miles to Nashville. Take 40 off of that. And the horse's bridle. What's horse's bridle? 5 foot, six? Somebody help me? Somebody? Close. If it's five, that's a lot of blood. And I told him in Sunday school this morning, he said, why is all that blood needed? Listen. It took blood to redeem your soul. God's coming back to redeem the nation of Israel. And it'll take blood to do it. It'll be the blood of other folks. You better make sure you're on his side and you're on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. How about you? Lord, we thank you for tonight. I pray everybody in here is saved.